Hello, all. As we get started in today's direction, going to run through a few things that we're going to be kind of doing over the next few weeks, leading us right up into September, really. Camp Caraway is coming very, very soon. Next week is actually the first day of camp for a lot of us. So next Sunday is going to be about camp's theme, which is the prodigal son story. So next Sunday will be about the prodigal son. The following Sunday, on July 14th, Luke and Holly Brazel and their boys are going to be with us. That's a fresh, updated picture of them. If you haven't seen Luke and Holly for a while, the boys have grown. They've gotten bigger, which is what happens with life. We praise God for such things. But Luke and Holly will be with us. Luke will be doing class on that Sunday morning, and he'll also be preaching on July 14th as well. And then we have our church picnic later on in the afternoon, which they will be there, so we get to eat and party and hang out with them. Jared is going to be preaching on the 21st and the 28th. We will be on vacation for a couple weeks to chill and relax and gear up for what the fall will lead us. So Jared's got 21 and 28. When we get back in August, we're going to start a 1 Peter series here on Sunday mornings, where we are going to journey through what it means to be in exile and to live out of a theme of exile within this world. So that's what August is going to look like leading into September. Another one of our missionaries, Jared Looney, he didn't give me a picture in time. He is going to be with us the weekend of August 10th and August 11th. On that Saturday, it's typically our men's prayer breakfast, which is the second Saturday of each month. That particular Saturday, Jared Looney is going to be doing a seminar on discipleship, on evangelism, on being a missionary. He is going to train us the way that he trains missionaries to go out into certain neighborhoods to go and spread the gospel. So on that Saturday, August 10th, the dates we'll specify here soon. We're all going to get a crash course. We're all going to get a seminar on how to be missionaries, because you are a missionary, whether you realize it or not, like it or not, accept it or not. Guess what? You are a missionary. So Jared's going to help us with that development of seeing ourselves and learning certain things that we can go and do on an everyday basis within the context that we find ourselves to be a missionary. So that's the 10th and the 11th of August. August 25th, we're going to have a special Sunday evening service called Hymns and Ice Cream. Starting around 6 o'clock, we're all going to gather in here, and we're going to worship really, really hard. We're going to burn a bunch of calories worshiping together, so that when worship is over, we'll go out in the fellowship hall, and we will replenish those calories with ice cream and all sorts of other good stuff. So Hymns and Ice Cream, go ahead and put it in your calendar. Plan to be here 6 to 7:30-ish. We'll worship for 45, 50 minutes, and then we'll go and we'll hang out and we'll fellowship with one another. We've got another thing brewing on that evening that I hope will come to pass. I'm not going to fully tell you what it is, but I'm hoping it comes about. Just leave that little danger out there for you and let you kind of work with that. And then God Can 2025, which is Sunday, September 15th. Please be preparing yourself for that Sunday. Prepare yourself financially in order to give. Prepare yourself prayerfully, as this is a big thing for our church. Church in the Falls is a mission-driven church where we care very deeply about supporting missionaries, spreading the good news of Jesus. So prepare yourself prayerfully and prepare yourself financially for that day. That's it as far as what's kind of coming sermonic-wise over the next couple of weeks. Want to begin our time this morning in the understanding of freedom from Psalm 119, verse 45. That'll be on the screen. I walk about in freedom, for I have sought out your precepts. When I Bible gateway'd the word freedom, just to see how many times it's used within our First Testament and our Second Testament, the word freedom or the word free is used an awful lot. And this is one of the ones that really kind of caught my attention. It was one of those gotcha moments from the psalmist here. I walk about in freedom, which gives off this impression of attitude, perspective, shoulders kind of walk back, not hunch forward, head up, not down, not looking at a phone. But I walk about in freedom because I have sought out your precepts, your instructions, your commands. So there's an invitation here very, very early on about a direction that the Bible presents about what freedom is. And freedom, according to this one-liner from Psalms, is about walking in the instructions and the commandments of the Lord. Doesn't lead towards more burden. Doesn't lead towards, oh man, I can't do that, really? No, it leads towards an attitude, a perspective, a heart of freedom. And that was a gotcha moment for me when I came across this passage. I had another gotcha moment this morning when we were singing Lamb of God. I immediately transported myself back to college during our time. Oh, I forgot what it was even called. During chapel. That's what it's called. During chapel. And singing with 1,500, 1,600 other people, singing Lamb of God on Lipscomb's campus. It was a gotcha moment for me. It was like, this song is beautiful and powerful. And it's amazing, all 20 years, oh, really, 20 years later, I still have that gotcha moment. There's another gotcha moment that I've been reminded of this week. The first time I ever read the book, The Shack. And the first couple chapters is a little dry, if you will. I mean, Mac going through what Mac was going through, a little dry. But once the author gets Mac to the shack and the door opens up and who he didn't expect to be there was there, the story got me. It was a gotcha moment. And then I was hooked on the book throughout the rest of the story, throughout the rest of the journey. Many of you may be able to testify with me about this. The first time you saw Chosen Season 1, Episode 1. You're journeying through Mary Magdalene and a little bit of backstory, a little bit of creative liberty, which is okay. It just draws you in to the story. And she's at the bar, and then who shows up to meet her there? Boom, gotcha. I was immediately hooked on the story. And as she is running away from Jesus, and as Jesus is pursuing her, and what Jesus says to her, boom, gotcha moment. Immediately hooked. There's something that I hope you take away from our time in God's Word this morning that will be a gotcha moment. And that is, what do you do with the freedom that God has gifted each and every single one of us with? We talk about democracy within our country, within political talking points, heads, whatever it may be. We talk about freedom, but the ultimate question for a follower of Jesus that all of us in some way, shape, form, or fashion are going to have to give an account for is what have we done with the freedom that we have been gifted with? Because freedom is a gift. We don't deserve freedom. None of us have earned the freedom that we have on a daily basis. It's a gift. And like every other gift that we receive in life, the answer, question, everything that's involved with it is what do we do with that particular gift? The noun freedom or the adjective free has a very deep and very rich history to it. And depending upon who you are in conversation with, both words can mean different things to different people, to different contexts. Okay, this is what it means to be free. I can do whatever I want to. That's what it means to be free. No restrictions, no boundaries. I do whatever I want to, whenever I want to, however I want to. When it comes to freedom, it's kind of the noun of it. I'm going to live out this freeness this way. I'm going to do whatever, whenever, however. This week, we celebrate the 4th of July, an annual celebrative holiday where we as Americans celebrate our country's independence from the monarch King George III, King of Britain. If I did my calculations correct, this makes 248 years since that particular day took place, where 13 colonies declared independence to begin the journey and imagination, if you will, of what a new nation, what a free nation looks like. And here's a quote from one of our country's founding fathers, John Adams, what he wrote to his wife, Abigail. The second day, you'll notice it's second, there's a little bit of debate and going back and forthness about when Independence Day actually is. We celebrate it's July 4th, so be it, it's July 4th. The second day of July 1776 will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to Almighty God. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations. Do not just randomly shoot guns in your neighborhood. We are not that free to do such things. Fireworks, little sparklers, do the illuminations part of what Adams directs here. Bonfires, even have little bells. From one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward, forevermore. As Thursday draws nearer and nearer, we have an opportunity to remember and we have an opportunity to celebrate all the good things that God has blessed us with in this country. A lot to be thankful for, a lot to celebrate. A lot to praise God for. And I challenge each and every single one of us as Thursday draws near to plot out, map out time where you personally thank God for this country that we live in. There is a negative attitude that has been developing and has been going throughout for a number of years of negativity towards our country. And we need to be honest where we need to be honest. And with the same breath, in the same sentence, we need to be thankful for the things that we truly need to be thankful for. And grateful for those things. So sometime on Thursday, whether it's a firework, whether it's a bonfire, whether it's shoving as many hot dogs as you can down you in gluttony, seven deadly sin, just ignore that day. But thank God for this country that we have. And there is, and may we hold fast to a deeper and eternal reality to what it means to be free. We're going to run through a number of passages this morning very quickly. This is not going to be a very long teaching, not a very long in-depth. We went through the entire book of Daniel for the most part. We've done a lot of in-depthness over these last couple of months. I hope today is light, but I hope it also offers you perspective. I hope you have gotcha moments as I read these passages about the direction with which the Bible points us about what freedom is really, truly all about. But before we get to the passages, I want to read a prayer from Phyllis Tickle's book, The Divine Hours. And as you pray along with me, hear these words. Almighty God, you have built your church upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ, himself being the chief cornerstone. Grant that all of us, may be joined together in unity of spirit by their teaching, that we may be made a holy temple acceptable to you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. First passage I want to draw our attention to, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Jesus declares, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me, because he has Messiah me, because he has Christ me." He's put the title of Messiah, Christ, upon me to do certain things, to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. In a lot of ways, when we read this text, when we hear this text, we can go physical. We can go physical liberation, physical deliverance. Jesus healed a lot of people who were blind. Recovery of sight to the blind. There's a physical element here to pay attention to. And then there is a deeper spiritual part of this as well. To really, truly see what matters in life. To really, truly see what is important. To see what truth really, truly is. To be liberated, to be set free from the lies that the enemy has done since the beginning of time, since the liar of all liars, the king of liars, the chief liars, told Eve, "Did God really say?" And ever since then, there has been this direction of lying that humanity has been a part of. And Jesus says, "I have come to liberate you from those lies, to help you see clearly, to help you see truly, to help you live in a type of freedom that really brings about freedom, not being bound to the things of this world, to set you free from the lies of the chief liar, to give you a true freedom." However, you need to hear this passage from Jesus, from Luke chapter 4. I pray that you hear it. If you need to be reminded of it, it's in the bulletin. If you need to go back to it later on today and pray about it, go back and pray about it. John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus says, "If you hold to my teaching, if you abide in my teaching, if you remain in my teaching," not somebody else's teaching, not a politician's teaching, not some other guru on YouTube, nobody else. "If you remain in my teaching, you really are my disciples. You are my apprentices. You are my students. Then, as you remain in my teaching, you will know what freedom really truly is. If you remain in my teaching, you're going to stay my disciples. You're going to stay my students. And you are going to know freedom. Then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free." True freedom, according to Jesus here, is connected to his truth, to his way, to remaining in his teaching. This is the direction with which Jesus gives about how to look at what it means to be free. It means being connected. It means remaining in him and in his teaching. And later on in the same chapter, what he says in verse 36, "If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." There's a lot of different ways in which you can take this statement and apply it to your lives. In the original context, it has to do with being bound to the law of Moses. For us, we're not bound to the law of Moses. We may be bound to another law, We may be bound to other voices that are in our head, whether it's our own voice or the voice of a parent, the voice of a grandparent, the voice of a teacher, the voice of friends, so-called friends. There are other voices that have become our own laws within our minds and within our hearts. But Jesus here makes a very profound statement about being free in Him. If I have set you free, you are free. And you almost hear it in the background. So remain in my freedom. Remain in me. Remain in my freedom. As the topic and direction of freedom kind of goes on throughout the early church, there is this powerful statement in Acts chapter 3, verses 38 through 39. Therefore, my friends, I want you to know. We just got to pause there for just a moment. I want you to know. It's a head thing. It's a heart thing. It's an entire self thing. I want you to know. I want you to believe. I want you to buy in to this. All in. I want you to know that through Jesus, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through Him, everyone who believes is set free from sin, a justification you were not able to obtain under the law of Moses. That's their original context. How do we get right with God? How do we stay right with God? Well, we got to keep abiding by the law of Moses. And a theme within the New Testament is that the law of Moses was and never would ever be enough to free you from sins. Someone better had to come and do what the law was never, ever able to do. When we read that, we're like, okay, I'm not bound by the law of Moses. But again, we are bound by other laws that have been fed to us throughout the years. And again, when we pay attention to those laws, when we pay attention to those voices, I hope you hear John 8:31 and 32. I hope you hear John 8:36. If the Son has set you free, you are free indeed. I hope you hear what Luke says here in Acts chapter 13, that because of Jesus and through Jesus, you are free. If you believe in Him, you are free. Free. Don't be bound anymore. Be free. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 23 and 24. I have the right to do anything, you say. It's almost like, I don't know, Paul took something right out of our current day and age, right? Our current philosophy. One of the current philosophies that are rummaging through our culture. Can't nobody tell me to do anything. I have the freedom to do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. So you guys are going to talk back to me here in just a few seconds. What is the direction here of freedom? What's the direction here of being free? Serve others. What you do with the freedom that each one of us are afforded with, spiritually and physically, in this country that we live in, matters greatly. And the ultimate question and answer is, what do we do with the freedom that we have been gifted with? We, according to Paul here, thousands of years disconnected from the United States of America, about democracy, about the type of freedom that Paul would have had no clue about understanding. What he directs followers of Jesus to do here is to serve others with the freedom that we have been gifted with. I have the right to do anything. No, actually, as a follower of Jesus, you don't. We have grace, But grace is not a means to do whatever it is you want to and then keep coming back to God saying, I'm sorry. And then you go back the next day and you do it again. That's what Dietrich Bonhoeffer calls cheap grace. And sometimes we get cheap grace from the voices of others. Sometimes we get cheap grace because of the music that we listen to. As much as there's good contemporary Christian music out there, there is this one line from this band. I really like the band. They have some really good stuff. But the way in which they define grace is I just feel like I got away with something. That's a line in one of their songs. That's not grace. That's cheap grace. Grace cost the Son of God his entire life. He died upon the cross to free us from spiritual bondage, to free us from sin, to free us from that which we could never free ourselves from. True freedom. Paul says no one should seek their own good. So what you do with your freedom is you don't seek your own good, but you are proactively seeking the good of others. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14, in the context of baptism, he says, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires. So with the freedom that you have been gifted with, that you have been afforded with, do something about sin in your life. Next passage. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but you are under grace. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. And then he goes down in verse 13. He says, you, my brothers and sisters, you are called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Doesn't that line fit within our day and age? The way in which we are at each other, the way in which we attack one another. If you bite and devour each other, you will eventually destroy each other. So I say, instead of biting and devouring each other, walk by the Spirit. And if you walk by the Spirit, if you remain in my teaching, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, because your attention is directed somewhere else. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. Don't brush aside your conscience. Don't brush aside that internal voice within you that you know is not your own, that it comes from someone else that is always at you, that you can overcome. You don't have to give in. This is not a good way of life. This attitude is not good. This gossip is not good. This cheating is not good. Whatever it is, don't brush it aside. Instead, let the Holy Spirit move you to acts of righteousness. But you are led by the Spirit. You are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, which, if you haven't paid attention, idolatry and witchcraft are really back on the scene. If you haven't seen weird videos of people chanting weird stuff, it's out there. Witchcraft is very much back on the scene. But then it goes from cultural stuff to more internal stuff. Hatred. Hatred. The acts of the sinful nature and act of our flesh that we are invited to live contrary to because we are free in Christ is to counter hatred. To counter discord, jealousy, fits of rage on Interstate 8 at 5:30. Selfish ambition, because we're not about one another with the freedom that we've been given. We're about serving each other. Dissensions, this idea of breaking things apart. Factions. And envy. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. It's amazing to me when you look at that list how acceptable those things are nowadays, how celebrated they are, how promoted they are. It's almost like this is how life should be for a follower of Jesus. Like, this stuff is horrible. This stuff breaks down. It destroys. It leads to all sorts of just blah, bad stuff. There's a better way to live. And the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who live like this have nothing to do with the now present reign and rule of God, nor the eternal rule and reign of God that is to come when Jesus returns. Those who live like this, and each one of us can pay attention to this and say, you know what? I need to identify this part in my life. And with the freedom that I have in Christ, I'm going to choose to live differently. I'm going to choose instead to live by the fruit of the Spirit, which is next. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Brent is doing the dance as I am reading these off. Gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. What do we do with the freedom that we have been gifted with? Instead of living by our sinful nature, instead of living by the flesh, the lusts of ourselves, we instead choose to live by the fruit of the Spirit. We live with the spiritual freedom that we have in Christ, and we live with the physical freedom that we have because we're blessed to live in this country. And we do it in a way that honors God and that serves one another. Last passage. 1 Peter chapter 2, 11 through 17. We're going to have plenty of time to talk about this in the month of August and in the month of September. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. We're going to unpack that. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake, to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to the governors who are sent by the supreme authority, by the emperor, to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. This is the idea when government is doing what government is somewhat equipped and supposed to do. So we submit ourselves for the Lord's sake to such a direction. For it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people. Live as free people. But do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God and honor the emperor. Arise, team. Y'all can join me up here, please. as Thursday draws near, and as we have an opportunity to remember, to celebrate, to party within a boundary. We got this whole idea of this is what it means to party. This is what it means to celebrate. There are boundaries around such partying. But celebrate. Have fun. Enjoy these freedoms that we have. But also celebrate the freedoms that we have in Christ. That we are no longer bound by the lusts of the flesh, the sinful nature. We have been set free in Christ. We have been set free to live a holy life. Just as He who called you is holy, so what? Be holy in all that you do, which includes how we live out the gifts of freedom that we have in our lives. Stand with me, church. Let's pray, and then we will close out our service in worship. God, thank you for the power and the authority and the good things that are in your word. Jesus, our Christ, we cannot praise you and we cannot thank you enough for the freedom that we have in you. Help each and every single one of us to believe in the freedom that we have in you, Jesus. You have promised us that if we believe in you, you will set us free. God, help us to believe that promise. Father, we thank you for the freedoms that we have in this country. May we use them wisely. May we use them lovingly. May we use them in a way that bears witness to your goodness and your wisdom and your love. May they bear witness to all the good things that are connected to Jesus. May we not use them in a way that's all about us, that's all about feeding ourselves. But may we use them to love you and love others. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.